Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Within football, we have silos.
We talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting it. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the Roman Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Billy and Todd. Boys,
hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
And the Green Bay Packers have a unofficial 53-man roster. So many dreams are over. You know, it's very
or
sad
just beginning.
Day for several, or just beginning. Some just beginning. Most are ending. However, some are going on and. It's very nice right now. It's starting to feel like football. It's getting colder a little bit at times. Season's changing a little. It's been really hot.
What?
I mean, it doesn't take much to be cooler than it was on Monday.
Yeah.
It's not cold.
Freaking 95. This morning it was like 67. It was freaking.
That's true. It was cloudy all day.
It was delightful.
It's where we're at. You know, we all live in the greater Twin Cities area. I went to the Minnesota State Fair. That's one of the last big things of the summer. So. That was fun, and it was, I'm like walking around, I'm like, oh my god, Grant DeBoe was signed with the Dolphins, or was claimed by the Dolphins, while I'm like walking around, double fisting, cheese curd tacos, so.
Okay, really quick, favorite new food.
I don't know if it was there last year, but it was the first thing we got, it was the dill pickle pizza.
It was last year.
Well, it was the lemonade too was big, the dill pickle lemonade, which I never had.
I don't remember that, that might be new.
Last year, I knew that one was new. That one had huge lines, and I never really tried it. But yeah, the pizza was pretty good. Duck wontons.
That sounds good.
The cheese curd tacos were solid. Yeah, there's a lot of decent stuff. I pet a couple of cows. I pet a goat. Two-day-old baby pig. It was a fantastic day. But football. Football is over. The preseason, I should say, is over. Very, very fun preseason games, too, where we beat the Browns 23-10, then we get shellacked 2-27, and then we kill the Ravens 7-30. Not like these preseason games are much of anything. Obviously not going to review the Ravens game, which was super fun for everyone, especially with the kicker battle and quarterback battle. But we'll just hop right into it. We're just going to break down the roster. There's something interesting with just about every position group, which I didn't think it was going to be an interesting cut down day, but there was a couple interesting moves, so we will just get right into it. Quarterback. Oofta. So before cut down day, I'm sure everyone saw it pop up that the Packers were trading a 7th round pick for Malik Willis. And if you don't remember, he was about 2-3 years ago going into that draft. He was talked about potentially being a first round pick.
2 years ago, drafted 22. Yep.
Okay, out of Liberty, ended up going in the third round. People were saying, hey, is he going to beat out Ryan Tannehill? Neither of them beat either of them out. So very, very talented quarterbacks. It's funny that we were kind of talking about Tannehill potentially signing him recently. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. But Malik Willis wins the quarterback battle after not being part of it all of training camp. And my God, Clifford and Michael Pratt with just a terrible showing that last preseason game. Clifford coming back on the practice squad, a little surprising. Michael Pratt joining the Bucks practice squad, which I thought was interesting that we went with Clifford instead of Pratt. I guess I can only assume it's because he knows the offense better. And with Malik Pratt Willis coming in.
Pratt got picked up by the Bucks, I think, on their practice squad. So I think they
just said that.
They must have had an earlier waiver wire claim than we did.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. I was thinking because also Royce Newman is a Buccaneer now. We'll talk about that with the offensive line. Malik Willis is the first player from Liberty College to play for the Packers since?
Sam Congato.
Very good. Wow. Todd beat Billy on a trivia question. That's surprising. But a race to last place for the backup quarterback spot. Were you guys surprised? You guys like Malik Willis? Do you think we should have done something different with the quarterback position behind Jordan Love?
I have been a Malik Willis stan for years. No, I'm just kidding. I watched about 15 minutes worth of Malik Willis film today, and I don't know. There's no production in 22. He was like completed 50% of his passes. It was gross. Threw some picks, no touchdowns. I mean, the numbers don't look good. Watching him in the preseason, he's got an arm. He's got what seems like vision at times, but like these defenses are, these aren't defenses, right? So it's like you just really can't. I think I've said this before, said a million times. Everybody in the NFL's got an arm. It doesn't like the guys that make it there, they can throw the ball.
Maybe not Sean Clifford, but
maybe there's okay. Most
he's got a
most
brain.
People. But I mean, yeah. So could the talent be there at some point? Yeah. Do I feel good about him backing up Jordan Love if Jordan Love gets hurt? Absolutely not. So
not yet. I mean,
better than Clifford, sure. Probably better than Pratt, so it's not a downgrade. We didn't get worse, but it's just like it's kind of like a blah. It doesn't move the meter for me.
Here's the thing for me: this dude is he's a third round pick. Now, I never bought even in the moment back in 22 that he was a first round pick. I thought that was just all media bluster to try and hype up interest in the draft. I thought it was absurd.
Bluster,
but yeah, I mean media bluster. Who'd ever thought? But I guess the way I look at it is it's a third round talent. Like he was talented in college. I think he's still talented. And we got him for a seventh round pick, which is what we got Michael Pratt for. So you could almost look at it that we basically traded Michael Pratt for Malik Willis. So I'm okay with it. Now he doesn't know the offense, number one, nearly as well as Sean Clifford doesn't even know it as well as Michael Pratt, obviously being here for all of 3 days at the time that we're recording this or whatever it is. But I like the tools. Looks like he has a strong arm. He's certainly athletic. And I think with a young backup quarterback, that can be a real weapon when there's not a lot of game film. Like, you know, maybe he just has to get outside of the pocket and make some plays if, God forbid, he ever has to play. So I'm intrigued. If Jordan Love goes down in week one, I still think the season is tanked, but you know, maybe later on down the road this season. Or the other nice side is he has another year on his contract, so there's certainly some value there next year too.
And maybe it's possible he could win a game in November,
right,
against a really bad
exactly.
team. It's not like impossible for him to contribute. It just doesn't seem like. It just doesn't seem like, yeah, if Love goes down, it's over. I mean,
right.
Just like it always is.
Yeah, if he goes down early, we're in trouble. If like you said, if it's November and he's been in the offense and been practicing, maybe he can come off the bench. There's no game film on him.
Yeah.
You know,
do we play the Browns? We play the Browns in November? I mean,
we got the Saints Jesus in December.
I don't think how deep we have to go into the backup quarterback and what he's going
to do. We're trying to analyze this.
That's coming from me. I'm just sitting back here and I'm like, oh, okay, guys, I don't know what's going to happen. But it does remind us of, you know, we're just creatures of habit here, but obviously reminiscent of when we cut both B.J. Coleman and Graham Harrell back in the day. B.J. Coleman was the backup quarterback for one day, then was released, never played in the NFL again. We signed Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien. Seneca Wallace comes in like a month or two into the season. And it also reminds me, DeShone Kizer.
That was in my very first Packers game I ever attended.
I thought that was the year that... Nope. What's his name from Texas, who was a former Tennessee quarterback?
That's what I'm saying. B.J. Coleman.
No. Tennessee Titans. Texas to Tennessee. Vince Young on that roster?
Yeah,
the preseason roster.
All of them were.
Hear you say that.
No, there was four. Well, he didn't even really. He was.
But
Graham Harrell.
I was electric when we signed Vince Young. I was like, oh, this is great.
But Graham Harrell stuck around the Packers for a few seasons. Vince Young was there for like a month. I don't even think he was there at the beginning of training camp. But
oh, really?
I don't think so. Another athletic quarterback for Goody, which he, you know, always loves, seems to value. You know, Drew Locke was the guy he liked back in the day too, and obviously DeShone Kizer, even in that draft class, we were rumored to be interested in him and went with Kevin King. So
Goody's taste in quarterbacks still makes me really nervous.
Mm-hmm. Especially looking at the last 2 years, it's like, God, he fumbled again. And now we're keeping Clifford. Like, I'm sure Clifford's great in the room or whatever. I keep saying that shit because he's a well-spoken guy and he's smart. But you see him throw the football and it's like he is never going to be a consistent starter. They compare him to like Matt Flynn because he didn't have a very strong arm. But Clifford looked worse this preseason than he did last year. That should be enough to be like, hey, nah, he's not it.
He's like Brian Brohm, but with really small hands.
I was in the stadium for Sean Clifford's only NFL completion to date, and that thing was an absolute duck.
Well, if he never plays for the Packers again, he's going to have like the best statistical performance based off of throw for 38 yards.
And I would have been able to see it in person, the making of the legend.
Proof that stats are for losers.
Moving on to running back, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson end up making the 53. And obviously the first thing we got to talk about here, which was a bit of a surprise, that being that Henry Pearson, who they just signed, they cut once again. So we'll have to see if he makes it on the practice squad. But no, obviously A.J. Dillon going to the IR and not designated to return. It's a bummer. It's a bummer no matter what. I obviously am not the biggest fan of A.J. Dillon.
Oh.
Yeah, some people may or may not know that. Okay. Not the biggest fan of Dillon, but it seems like a coin flip if he's ever going to play football again. He ended last postseason with the stinger, the neck injury. He had another one. He was saying how this one's different than the last one, which it's almost like he was saying that with a positive tone, but now seeing what's going on and how even the week leading up to the final preseason game, Coach LaFleur was saying that they need to get more testing done on him. So we'll see what happens there, but I don't know. Nate McRae and Ellis Merriweather both made the practice squad. I think I wouldn't be surprised if one of them get called up week one, but A.J. Dillon's, you know, Packer career, the mayor of Door County, probably over. Todd, are you sad? Are you upset by this?
I mean, I am upset that somebody got a career-ending neck injury.
Well, we don't
like,
know. Potentially.
I'm just saying, like, that doesn't make me happy. But I don't... I mean, I don't think it makes the running back room worse, unfortunately, right? Like, I don't like to say that, but I just think that that's the reality of the situation. I mean, I wish him the best. I hope that he signs with their team and he's super successful. I wish the best for him. But I feel pretty good about the room when Marshawn Lloyd is healthy. I mean, I feel pretty good about that room.
That's a gamble, but yeah.
I'm with you. As much as I am not a fan of A.J. Dillon, the football player, like, I get that he's, you know, got this persona off the field. As much as it rubs me the wrong way, it doesn't matter. But he was still reliable in the pass game, especially blocking. He was pretty secure with the football, I think. He, you know, usually didn't pick up many yards, so didn't really expose himself to fumble. But, you know, it's nice to have a veteran running back, I guess, behind your starter. And now, especially with Marshawn Lloyd injured to start the season, the depth is really a concern for me. And it's like, if Josh Jacobs needs to be the bell cow, and he hasn't been the most durable necessarily either over the years, if something happens to Josh Jacobs, boy, that room is in a lot of trouble.
That's what I'm wondering too. I had thought of this going into the last couple of weeks with Marshawn Lloyd getting banged up and everything. Behind Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs is the most important player on the offense, yes, bar none at this point. You know, years past, it was like Devontae or David Bakhtiari, and now it's pretty clearly Josh Jacobs, I would say. The other thing, and you touched on it there too, Billy, LaFleur in his presser today talked a little bit about A.J. Dillon out and saying how it hurts just because they had, you know, these plans for him, and he didn't even mention running the ball. He was saying because he's, you know, so good out of the backfield. And for as much as I've gotten on A.J. Dillon, that is the one thing he's always been good at, as long as he catches it, which it's funny how that was his big knock against him coming out of college, and that seemed to almost get worse over the years for him. But out of the backfield, like those little, you know, fucking passes in the flat, he was great. It felt like you'd give it to him and he could run alongside one corner and pick up 8 to 10 yards just about every given time. So it's a bummer, and I agree, he didn't fumble hardly ever for how, I don't know, unproductive he was running the ball. But we'll see. What I guess is going to happen is he's never going to play again. He's going to have some type of injury settlement, maybe even potentially through his insurance. And I think he's going to get hired by the Packers eventually and be some type of personality.
Social media.
Some type of social media guy. And I want him to be healthy no matter what. But for that reason also, I really, really hope he's healthy so he can keep playing football and I don't have to. Anyways, why not?
Can I just say one thing, though, about Josh Jacobs? We're better off with Josh Jacobs being the bell cow than we would be Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones cannot carry the load. Josh Jacobs has proven that he can carry the load. Injuries happen. But, like, I'm just saying, like, if we had Aaron Jones in the situation with no depth behind him, I would feel worse. That's my last point. Sorry.
That's fair. That's very fair. At the same time, the way the roster is constructed now, absolutely. I was not a fan of the Josh Jacobs signing when it happened. Right now, it's like, of course. But if we went through the draft process with Aaron Jones and say we drafted someone like Blake Corum,
Yeah, I don't think you're drafting Marshawn Lloyd in that situation.
If you got a bigger back like that, or Braylon Allen, who's actually impressed in Jets camp, apparently.
He's a big boy.
I think we would have been just fine with something like that. Whiteout, Watson, Dobbs, Jaden Reed, obviously. Wicks did end up making it. Bo Melton and Malik.
Of course Wicks made it.
I meant Bo Melton.
You meant, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Grant DuBose was claimed and is on the Dolphins practice squad. Kind of a bummer.
R.I.P.
But especially talking more. I was talking to the beat reporters, but listen to a bunch of guys, and especially Goody today, where he's saying like Malik is just on such a different level and how consistent he's been over the last year, the special teams, the blocking, all of that. And Bo Melton has just been talked about like he's going to be part of this roster pretty much all offseason. So that was much of a surprise. Grant DuBose, it kind of felt at the end this is what was going to happen. And the biggest
he was also good in special teams too, though. He was kind of a stud in special teams also.
I'm the idiot that said last week that DuBose was borderline lock territory.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. That was a pretty dumb thing to say. Julian Hicks and Jaylen Wade made the practice squad, something that I didn't realize. Jaylen Wayne, who is a receiver in camp, like I said, on the practice squad, he is Reggie Wayne's cousin somehow. Yep. So that's kind of cool. But any thoughts there on at receiver? I think it's the deepest part of the roster. You know, I feel pretty good about just about any of those guys stepping in right now, and it's six dudes deep. So especially looking back, I threw this out on Twitter today. Looking back at the receiving core of the 2022 team, it was Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, Samari Toure, and Randall Cobb. Like, oof. No wonder we didn't make the fucking playoffs.
How many of those dudes are even on an NFL roster anymore? Did Alan Lazard make the Jets?
Oh, yeah. He's gonna get fed the ball this year probably a little bit, too. Because he's still paid so much, they couldn't really get rid of him.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah.
I just remember he did nothing last year.
He caught 23 passes in 14 games last year.
He was like a healthy scratch at the end of the year because he only really works well with Aaron Rodgers. So I'm curious to see how the Jets are going to do this year. That should be, I don't know. It'll be fun to watch them from far away. Tight end, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Ben Sims. No real surprises here. Messiah Swinson to the practice squad, I guess, was surprising with Joel Wilson not yet being added. I believe there's 13 players. There's like three or four. I can't remember if it's 16 or 17 spots on the practice squad, but it's not completely filled right now. But,
Joel Wilson. 17 total. We have 13.
Spencer, okay. I don't know my fringe 53-man roster players all that well. Is Messiah Swinson that big blocking-type tight end? He's like 6'8"?
I believe so. I mean, they're all so
big.
Yeah,
he's the big dude.
Okay.
And he was definitely the biggest tight end we have.
Okay. It is nice that we moved on from Josiah DeGuara, who got cut by the Jags yesterday, too, and then we signed an actual Messiah to the roster, ooh. So I enjoyed that. And then Tyler Davis, IR, done. There was pictures, too. He had shoulder surgery, so poor dude tore his ACL in training camp last year. This year, fucks his shoulder up. He's out for the year again. He's probably not ever going to play football again. But Jason Wilde wondered if he's going to get into coaching pretty quickly here. I wouldn't be surprised if he's some type of intern next summer during training camp. We've talked about in the past, too, how he stuck around during his whole recovery and was, as Wilde said, essentially an extra special teams coach last year. And we talked about how he like was holding up the personnel signs on the sideline and shit, kind of acting as a coach anyway. So bummer for him, but tight end, anything you guys want to talk about here? I don't think anything was too surprising.
I have an off-the-topic question that I'm hoping you can shed some light on, Spencer.
Okay, well, let's see.
When a guy goes on the IR for the year, do you know enough to talk about how those injury settlements work? Do they just like pay him off a portion of like what their contract would have been? Just like a small portion? Like, how does that work?
So, and these things change all the time, too. This is the first year, too, where you could put people on the IR before rostering them.
Okay.
So that's what kind of happened here, too. For instance, Jonathan Ford, the defensive tackle, he's on IR designated to return.
Yep.
You can designate two players to return. The Packers obviously did not do that with Dylan and Tyler Davis because they're hurt. So someone like Dylan, it's going to be interesting. Basically, what they do is they throw him on the IR, not designated to return, and they, at this point right now, if everything stays the same, they're out all season, whatever. I don't know exactly how they get paid. They might get paid their full salary for that if they can't play, whatever.
Certainly they're guaranteed money they get paid.
Yes, yes. But with the injury settlement, for instance, if A.J. Dillon wanted to play football this year, if they're looking at his neck injury and they're like, you would have been out, 6 weeks, then they would pay him 6 weeks worth of his salary, and that is what the settlement is.
And then some other team could pick him up if they deemed him healthy enough.
So he immediately becomes a free agent at that point?
If he has an injury settlement and he can pass a physical, yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thanks.
I believe that's how it works. So there you go. Tight end. moving on, the offensive line. A lot of big boys went with 10. A lot of people were thinking 9. It's just, I think it shows how they don't feel very confident at the end of the roster with those tackles. But Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Andre Dillard made it. Jacob Monk, the 5th-round pick out of Duke. Kadeem Telforth, the undrafted guy who surprised at the beginning of camp. And then Travis Glover, the 7th-round pick out of this year's camp. Again, Royce Newman cut and claimed by the Bucks. Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta, gone. I haven't heard if they've signed anywhere. On our practice squad, we kept Donovan Jennings and Lasitas Smith. Jennings, if you remember, very, very early on, he was the one undrafted guy who he gave $100,000 in guaranteed money, which is rare for the Packers, so it shouldn't come as a huge surprise that he's stuck on the practice squad. We usually don't give out guarantees, so, threw him a bone and he stuck around, it seems like. But again, nothing too surprising here. I guess Telfort, maybe a little bit of one. I don't know. I mean, it felt like it was going to come down to that last tackle spot, and they ended up keeping an extra dude. So not a ton to talk about, but again, I mean, RIP, Caleb Jones and Luke Tenuta, the Giants we've been talking about for two years.
What could have been? To watch.
The Twin Towers.
What could have been?
Yeah, we never saw him. But again, I mean, a couple interesting things, nothing crazy. I'll bring this up that was mentioned in a presser. Andy Herman, after the Ravens game, I believe, asked this about a rotation on the offensive line. Obviously referring to Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan, and Matt LaFleur said something along the lines of, I like your thinking, so I would be surprised if we're not rotating to start the year at right guard like we did last year.
It's just the weirdest thing to do that in professional football, isn't it? Like, to rotate guards?
I'd rather just have somebody get in there and work up a lather and get into the
just put Jordan Morgan in.
Yeah, well, the issue too is, because I in the past, you know, last year Sean Ryan, his conditioning was bad. The first year with Elton Jenkins and Lane Taylor, Elton probably should have just started because, you know, we rotated then too.
But I could see that because Lane Taylor was a veteran. In this case, Jordan Morgan's a rookie. Like, if you're
Lane Taylor he wasn't bad.
Yeah, he had been serviceable for a couple of years.
My point being, Jordan Morgan has played guard all of a week, and Sean Ryan has not had enough experience. And one, he hasn't had a ton of experience in the NFL. Two, his conditioning is still bad. Wildy talked about it, and it was even a thing.
Seriously?
Last year. Yes, where Sean Ryan said at his locker that he needs to get his shit together when talking about his conditioning. So that's why we're rotating these two guys, because they can't rely on Sean Ryan.
Oh, my God.
Maybe now he is. Either way, last year, the coaches gave him, what, 10 games of rotations, and they still didn't believe in him, and they still don't believe in him. I'm fine with rotating this year to start it, especially when, you know, Jordan Morgan has such little experience, and halfway through the season, after a month or so, and he gets the hang of it, he's going to probably be a better player than Sean Ryan, just based off of early training camp reports.
I didn't realize last year that the reason Sean Ryan got such little playing time was because his conditioning is so bad. I remember almost clamoring for Sean Ryan to play.
Oh,
last
we all were.
Year.
We were bitching every week.
And then, like, the end of the season, it's like he comes in for two series. We march right down the field on the back of Aaron Jones and then yank him. He's done.
That's true. He's the equivalent of, like, Alabama putting in their running quarterback. Yeah. It's like when he's in, you have to run the ball because he can't pass block was the issue last year.
And then because we run block so much and he's running 10 yards downfield, he poops himself out.
Yeah, there is some truth to that. Absolutely.
He's just explosive, guys. He's explosive. He just can't go the long haul, but like those three plays, he's got it.
Yeah. And the reason why, not like this is anything crazy to touch on, Royce Newman, I think they feel pretty good about how Jacob Monk has looked on tape the last couple weeks. He, again, I keep saying it, he is fun.
We're pretty bad about Royce Newman. You see some of those lowlights?
Oh, for me, it's like, what's the difference between Royce Newman getting cut and A.J. Dillon being cut? A.J. Dillon gets cut, and they're like, oh, my God, oh, this poor guy. It's like, you don't even know if Royce Newman is a good or bad guy. And they're probably very similar players, talent-wise, in helping out this team, you know? But whatever. Either way, don't be a fucking idiot on
that. Royce Newman doesn't have the social media presence.
But he does have a mullet. Imagine...
He's probably a cool guy. Now that I'm thinking about it, Royce is probably a cool guy.
I'd rather have a beer with Royce Newman than A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
With that very astute point, we will have a quick commercial break.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
All right, and we are back with the defense. What, Todd? What?
We were talking during the break.
I was going to say, this is going to be so entirely
Evan Dedrick Smith now just being Evan Smith.
He's the new Evan Dedrick Smith now.
Mm. You mean
except Evan, he was good.
You mean Evan Smith.
Yeah.
Number 62. That's a good offensive lineman number.
Yeah, his parents got divorced or something.
Jesus. And you said that his parents got divorced, but like when you have two last names, it means that they're already divorced. So he would just
That's not always true. Well, no, sometimes.
That's usually true.
Sometimes.
You don't get rid of. Getting rid of a last name is.
He might have added a step parent's last name.
Okay, true, but he already had the two names. Some people, they give their kids both a mother and the father's last name. But either way, I don't know.
True,
if guys...
but then when the kid gets divorced, when the parents get divorced, it's not like the kid's like, yeah, I hate mom now.
Todd, actually,
at 38 years old.
I couldn't agree with you more. The point was is that it was a joke, and you guys are like, oh, he's serious. That is.
It was funny. I mean, maybe not. At your intention, but it was still funny.
I thought the funniest part was you bringing it up after we came back from break.
I didn't. Well, Todd just kept laughing. I had to.
Stop laughing.
Yeah. Defensive end: Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, J.J. Nwabari, Lucas Van Ness, Brenton Cox Jr., and Aaron Mosby. So again, another surprise here: an extra defensive end that I don't think a lot of us thought was going to happen. It was odd.
Did he really make it just because of that last game against Baltimore with the strip sack and the interception? Did he do anything else?
He did ball out kind of all preseason, though.
Okay. That was the most preseason I had watched, and I saw after the Ravens game, everybody was like, oh, I think Aaron Mosby makes the roster, and I'm like, because he was unblocked on that strip sack, and then they threw it right to him on the interception, but if I did not watch enough of the preseason to understand the full Aaron Mosby story. That's on me.
Yeah, and it keeps the tradition going. This is now 19 seasons in a row of an undrafted free agent making the squad. It was surprising, too, because it was first reported that he made it before Brenton Cox, and I was like, oh, it's a cool story, but...
He's in his second year, though.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm getting at is that I would have rather kept Brenton Cox than Mosby.
Yeah.
And right, so when I heard that, I was like, oh shit, are they really gonna?
Yeah, because you're thinking Brenton Cox isn't gonna make the team then.
Right, I didn't think we were gonna
keep six
DNs. Yeah.
So. Sorry, my point was, does it count as an undrafted free agent because he's in his second year?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Brenton Cox. I believe so. If he hasn't played in the league, I would assume it still counts, and that's what they're rolling with.
I guess that when I think of an undrafted free agent in this context, I think of some dude that we brought in. After the draft,
yeah,
as a rookie, and then he makes the team.
I assume he wasn't on a practice squad last year either, which would be the reason if he is truly a second-year player. Defensive tackles? God, it's still tough getting used to this. Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton, Wyatt Brooks, Wooden. Again, nothing surprising here. The only surprising thing was Jonathan Ford being put on IR designated to return. I wonder if they're just going to cut him after that and put him on the practice squad. You know, because technically after 2 weeks, yeah, he'll be back on the 53. They'll have too many guys. They just cut him.
It gives you 5 weeks to see if there's an injury, and you can keep him if there is one.
Yep. It's just, to me, it's funny, too. We know that Tyler Davis and A.J. Dillon have actual injuries now, but when it was first reported, it was like, damn, they want to keep Jonathan Ford over A.J. Dillon? Yikes, that is quite the fall from grace. But I don't know, maybe we'll finally see Jonathan Ford on a football field this year after being on the 53's entire rookie season and never suiting up. I can only assume you guys have nothing to say there, huh?
No, nothing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Linebacker, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson, Edrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper. Unfortunately, our guy from Iola, Wisconsin, Christian Welch, was cut. There's some reports that he got picked up by the Ravens on their practice
squad. That's what I heard, yeah.
But then there was also a Ravens reporter that said that that isn't true, or they haven't confirmed that yet, so we'll see. Oh. Either way, it's surprising that the Packers, one, a lot of people thought he was going to make the roster after his preseason, because he really could not have played a hell of a lot better.
Dude, what do you have to do to get on the team?
That's what people were asking, and I'm glad he made some type of practice squad, but it's one of those things where it appears it came down to special teams, and one, Zane Anderson probably got that last roster spot over Welch.
That's wild to me, though, because I thought Welch was a really good special teamer. Like, people talked mm-hmm. about him as being a really solid special teamer. Like, that was how he was going to make it in this league. So, I don't know. Maybe Zane Anderson is just flying under the radar, doing everything we don't see. I don't know.
I mean, Tyron Hopper, though, he's kind of a C-ball, get-ball linebacker. He might have potential as a special teamer and maybe has more upside as an every-down linebacker.
He probably has the upside in the base that they're looking for down the road as, you know, a Sam linebacker. And so it's just a matter of, we drafted this guy, we're not getting rid of him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they. I would have been shocked if they did. He was a fifth-round yeah. pick. And on top of that, he was the pick that we got for trading away Rasul Douglas. And there is no way in hell Goody was going to cut bait on that this early.
Yeah.
Moving on to corner, Jair, Eric Stokes. Again, God, this is going to be a weird year at corner. Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and Corey Ballantyne. Carrington Valentine, too, I don't know if you guys saw this, he changed his number from 37 to 24.
Looks good.
I guess I'm fine with it. At first, I didn't like 37 on him because 37 was always Sam Shields and he was very, very fast.
Yeah.
That's not exactly Valentine's game, and I finally got used to it, and now he switched it, which is...
I like 24 on him. I feel like that's a better fit.
It's not bad. It's just I got so used to it. It's like moving a couch in your living room. It's like I still like it, but now it's different. It feels different. I don't know.
Great analogy. A+.
Yeah.
My older brother's least favorite player, I guess I have to say like 10 years ago because it's been that long.
Oh, I wonder who this is going to be.
Was Jarrett Bush. He could not stand
really?
Jarrett Bush because it seemed like...
Didn't he have a pick in the Super Bowl?
He had a pick in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every single time he played corner, he would get burned. So I guarantee you, number 24, Carrington Valentine, if and when he gets burned this year, my brother's going to go, God damn it, Jarrett Bush, you suck, or something like that.
He was one of the first, like, everyone kind of hates him guys. And then he turned into a pretty... you know, reliable special teams players.
Yeah,
like
he's a solid special teams guy.
Like you said, Todd, he had a Super Bowl. It was like,
yeah, it's like, I feel bad for all the things I said about you, Jarrett Bush.
Yeah. And he also wore number 24, like you're talking about. But yeah, nothing too crazy here. Kalen King, he got cut. Robert Rochelle got cut, both to the practice squad. Not a huge deal there, I don't think. Kalen King was just so hot and cold. As long as no one scoops him up now, I think he could potentially be, you know, some type of decent player down the line. But again, corner, that was pretty in stone for the most part, except for the back end. Moving on to safety, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo. That's a fun one out of Oregon State. And Zane Anderson, who we talked about a little bit too. Obviously, the big surprise here was Anthony Johnson Jr. getting cut. It's probably, if there's one thing I would have changed, it would be Anthony Johnson Jr. making it over Zane Anderson for this roster, but what the hell do I know? It's kind of funny, too, how we, Xavier McKinney was obviously the starting safety for the Giants last year, and now there's the potential that Anthony Johnson Jr. could start for them this year. I mean, if Anthony Johnson Jr. started for us week one, I'd feel completely fine with it, and now he's, you know, just on the Giants team for nothing, so... Any thoughts? I guess we can cover the corners too if you guys have anything, but the secondary and how things shaped up there.
My biggest thing is the Zane Anderson. You could, like, there's three other players that I, if you had asked me before the cutdowns, you shook it out and you're like, Zane Anderson makes the team over these three guys, I'd be like, no, that's not true. I mean, you could swap them out for Kalen King, Anthony Johnson Jr., Christian Welch, and I would not be surprised at all. And just like Zane Anderson being on the roster is the biggest surprise to me.
Yeah, I honestly thought Anthony Johnson Jr. was a pretty comfortable fifth safety, just given the amount of playing time that he had last year. I guess it just goes to show how good we feel about these three rookies that, you know, Anthony Johnson Jr. wasn't really all that close to surpassing.
It's like, what is Zane's, what is his strength? Like, what does he do? Like,
special teams.
What is it you do here?
Special teams.
I know, but like, that's it?
Well, there's it. Also, nobody knows what goes into special teams. He just does it well.
There's also
other guys that do special teams well. I'm saying they also have other roles on the team. That's my thing. I don't know.
There's also the joke on Twitter that he's not a real person. It was kind of a thing last year, too. Like, he isn't real because he was on the roster to start it last year. Yeah. I'll find the clip and send it to you. Cassidy Hill, who was with the Packers at the time, or the Green Bay Gazette, she interviewed him. It's like, oh, you're real, because he made the 53-man roster and then immediately didn't practice for a month. And then he started practicing. They're like, oh, you're a real person. I think he came from the Ravens at the time, but again, just a special teams ace. So we'll see if he ever actually makes some type of impact for the Green Bay Packers. And speaking of special teams, special team. So Daniel Whalen once again makes it. Matt Orzich is the long snapper as of right now. He didn't get cut this year to start, just so that we could do that roster manipulation.
And we haven't brought Peter Bowden back for a third time this offseason.
Yep. I wonder if he'll be on the practice squad eventually. But big story along with A.J. Dillon was Anders Carlson getting cut. Greg Joseph making it for a day, like B.J. Coleman back in the day, and then losing his job. And then we claim Titans kicker Braden Narveson?
Narveson.
A very kicker. Braden is a very kicker name. He just sounds like a nerd.
Narveson is like that's... I could only see him being a kicker or a punter. There's no way some dude named Braden Narveson is a star middle linebacker.
That could be a long snapper name. I could see that.
Okay. True. I'll give you that.
And something else to touch on before we talk about the more important things with the roster, and this happened after we recorded last week. Poor Kenneth Odemwegu, the kid from Nigeria who is the international player thing.
That's right.
That roster exemption. So he hangs out with the Packers all year, and apparently, like, everyone loved him in the locker room. He had a big old smile. Everyone loved Kenneth. Well, Goody... his roster manipulation. They had this Alex Hale, you know, that kicker we signed like 2 weeks ago who was not very good. He was kicking at like 70% or worse. Well, he was born in Australia. So he kicked for Oklahoma State in college, but the NFL is allowing us to use him as the international player. So he's a roster exemption for the full year. So they're going to give this kid a full year to learn how to kick. And then next year, he'll be part of the kicking competition.
I thought he was on the practice squad.
Mm-mm. He technically is when you look at the roster, but he doesn't count against it.
Oh.
Maybe that's why it's 17 and not 16. That's what it is.
That just goes to show what a gong show this kicking competition has been. Right. That we're going to waste our roster exemption on some kid that kicked in college in the U.S., but because he's technically from Australia, he counts.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we obviously went with Joseph for the day and cut him. And then you just look at the moves we've made since the end of the season. We signed that kid out of Georgia right after we were eliminated. And not like, it wasn't, he didn't kick in college in 2023. It was you know, the full year before that. So he didn't do anything for a full year.
He was like a street free agent, like literally had been on the street for a year.
Meanwhile, we could have brought in Braden Narveson, who is now our kicker, or we could have signed the kid from the UFL that we brought in for a workout, who is now the Lions kicker. So there's been a couple ways that Goody's fucked up this position. He said in his presser today, too, that he's, you know, a little
impatient when it comes to specialists.
Impatient when it comes to specialists. So I don't know. We'll see. I fucking hate it. I wish we would have just done something to make this be a non-issue. It's the last thing you want to worry about, and it's something we had to worry about all down the stretch last year. I am happy to be done with this Carlson-Bisaccia connection. And fuck, Bisaccia is on the hot seat. I don't know if you guys saw Matt LaFleur today, too. There was a clip on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Where someone was asking him about the kickers, and he cuts off the question. He's like, talk to Rich Bisaccia. You got to talk to Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah, he's like, that's a question for Rich.
And I looked it up this year, too, because, you know, the whole, obviously, the one thing everyone talked about with Andres is always Daniel's brother. And, you know, he got cut from the Vikings, and then he turned it around. Daniel was cut from the Vikings after 2 games. He was signed by the Raiders and kicked in 10 games for him. In those 10 games for the Raiders, that same season, his rookie year, he was making field goals 94% of the time. So the turnaround was almost immediate. Andres has had well over a full season to get this shit figured out. And well, it seems like he almost got worse.
One season, and I mean, can you really say well more than one season when he's had one season and, you know, training camp twice?
Yes. Yes, I can absolutely say that. He kicked in a full NFL season and the playoffs, and he had 2 training camps. Yes, he had more than enough time, especially when his brother was able to figure out in like 2 fucking months.
But I guess my question for you is, you said you wish that we had done something different. I mean, we sure as hell tried. I mean, we drafted a kicker. We invested in a kicker in the 5th round, I think, is what we spent on Anders Carlson. Obviously, it didn't work out. Now, was there a different kicker that we could have drafted in that 5th round instead of Anders Carlson that would have been a better choice?
Yes. Yes.
Perhaps.
One not coming off a torn ACL as well.
The thing that's with, fair. Like, the side note, when they picked Anders, it was like, oh, this guy couldn't kick in college.
So it's going to be another
pick
Rich
on a project.
It's going to be another Rich Bisaccia reclamation project because Rich had won in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and they've known each other since Andres was in like 8th grade. So it's like, why are we letting this shit happen again? The Browns traded for Cade York. There are different avenues that they could have done. I know I'm not a kicking expert, but again, even the guys that they looked at, it would have been better. The guy we have now, they should have brought in sooner. And, you know, even the UFL kicker, they probably should have signed up. So it's just...
But should we have brought in this Narveson guy that much sooner? He made 78% of his kicks in college.
But he can actually kick in the NFL. Either way...
How do we know? He's a rookie.
He kicked 6 for 7, and he's going to be a better project than Anders Carlson, and you didn't have to waste a 5th-round pick on him. Bottom line is you shouldn't waste picks on specialists unless it's like the 7th round. Then I'm completely fine with it. We took him in the 5th round. He was coming off an ACL injury. He didn't kick well in college. He didn't really kick well for us at all. And even at the end of last year, I got so pissed off when Goody said, well, we would have made a move, but there was no one better out there or whatever. It's like, dude, he missed a kick the last 5 or 6 games in a row. Fuck off and don't lie to me about it. Just say you screwed up or something. I don't know. I would have been fine with Anders on the practice squad, too. Like you said, he's, you know, there's maybe something in there. But the thing that kind of put me over the edge for moving on without Anders and going with Greg Joseph for that day is J.R. Ratcliffe is his name, maybe, for the Journal Sentinel. He was going to practices, and he said that you could hear and see the difference in kicks between Anders and Greg Joseph, where Joseph would pound the ball and it would crush the net. And Anders, the way J.R. described it, was the ball fluttered. And that explains a lot, too, when you just remember Anders' kicks and how they weren't consistently going down the middle. That rarely happened. They always kind of just snuck in there. And I don't know if he was ever going to turn around. I get having a project, but to waste a draft pick on a project kicker for it not to work out and not even have him on your practice squad, it's just, yeah.
I agree. I don't. I don't agree with having Anders on the active roster, spending a fifth round pick on him, blah, blah, blah. But sorry, just to go back to Narvison, I disagree with the fact that he has more upside. The dude made one third of his kicks from beyond 50 yards in college. That does not scream NFL caliber kicker to me. But
hit a 59 yarder.
We'll see. Yeah. One out of three, though, from beyond 50 was made. That's not good. That's not an NFL caliber kicker, in my opinion.
I was saying he hit a 59-yarder a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
But the thing with him, Billy, is he doesn't come with any trauma. Every time Anders Carlson's going out there.
That's fair.
Greg Joseph, I wouldn't feel. This is a blank slate. And if this guy sucks, cool. We'll fucking cut him in 2 weeks and find another bum. Like, I would rather do that than keep putting Anders out there. We were never going to feel good about Anders after the end of last season, and especially missing that fucking 32-yarder, where I'll tell you what, if we each had like three attempts, I bet one of us could make a 32-yard field goal. You know?
I was going to say, the very first kick that this dude has against Philadelphia in Brazil, if that's when it happens, every single Packers fan is going to be on the edge of their seat. Doesn't matter if it's a 21-yard field goal in the first quarter or a 43-yarder in the fourth to try and tie it. Like, we're going to be in the exact same situation.
Yeah, we'll see. And I don't know if I touched on this. We talked a little bit there. He was 6-for-7 in the preseason. He only missed a 58-yarder, which was short. He made the 59-yarder. He had a 46-yarder game winner, and he didn't miss a extra point in college, which it's shorter, but
which are 19 yards. 19 yards.
Yeah, and they're short.
Anders Carlson was also excellent on extra points in college.
Anders is probably worse at extra points now than he was in college. I feel like he's just like a lost human.
For
like,
sure is worse.
He was 93% on extra points in college. Every kicker in the NFL is worse on extra points in the NFL than they were in college. I guarantee it.
I know, but statistically, yes, but I'm saying like physically, I bet he would be worse like right now just in who he is as a kicker. Like, remember at the beginning of last year when shit was falling apart? Anders didn't miss a kick until like week 6. I was calling him automatic Anders like the first month or so, sarcastically.
So you jinxed it. It's your fault.
Yes, I will take the blame for calling him automatic Anders. But that's it. That's the roster. Got a couple other things to talk about, but any other overarching thoughts? Anything you feel bad about? Anything you feel really good about with this roster going into the regular season now?
I feel bad for Christian Welch.
Yeah, a Wisconsin native.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to touch on is the offensive line. I saw some report on Acme Packing that the Packers did not believe that their swing tackle was on the roster before cutdown day, which I thought was
Rob Domofsky said that several times leading up to cutdown, and Wilde said two people in the building were saying that the swing tackle might not currently be on the roster.
But I think the thing that we're forgetting is that a lot of those guys on the offensive line have flexibility. I mean, if Rashid Walker were to go down, Elton Jenkins kicks out to left tackle. I don't think it's even a question. And then we bring in Sean Ryan to play left guard or maybe Jacob Monk. Like, in that scenario, Elton Jenkins is our swing tackle. And if we're down to essentially our fourth tackle, you know, then Zach Tom gets hurt, God forbid. Okay, then it's Kadeem Telfort or Andre Dillard. And
Dillard,
what are you expecting out of those guys at that point?
Yeah, you're right. You obviously don't want to see it happen, but you're probably right where it would just be getting Sean Ryan out there. But God, like Josh Myers, that would be the most interesting one, because it's like, do you put Elton there or do you put Monk there? Because if you put Monk there, it might not be very good to start, but hell, then you get a jump start for 2025 when he's probably going to be the starting center for this team with Josh Myers being in the final year of his rookie contract. But yeah, I guess we'll see. It's a very deep squad. Again, we hadn't had a player claimed off waivers since Taysom Hill, and we had three players claimed this year. So it just shows you the depth of the Packers roster and that we're obviously going to win the Super Bowl.
Astounding.
Yeah. Speaking of the Super Bowl, a couple other things to just touch on before we get out of here for the week. Aaron Campman and Clay Matthews are going into the pro football, the Packers Hall of Fame tomorrow. I know we touched on it, I think, when it was first announced, but pretty cool. I think two guys that we grew up watching, Clay Matthews in 2010 through, 2014 was just an absolute monster. That 2011 season, especially, I remember that Bills game. He had, 3 or 4 sacks.
It was his second game of his career.
Yeah. It was fucking nuts. And then Aaron Campman, obviously coming out of Iowa, the defensive end, who had to... it's kind of cool. I'm sure they'll talk about it, too, but just the transition for the defense is how Aaron Campman was a bigger dude, and then the Dom Capers comes in, couldn't really play outside linebacker. So then that next draft class, they move up, trade with the Patriots, and take Clay Matthews, who essentially replaces Aaron Campman. But again, anything else with these guys? I mean, Clay Matthews was a staple in this defense for the longest time.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players on the face of the defense for forever is mm-hmm. what he was. So great guy. It's fun to watch.
And I was always a fan, number one, of Aaron Campman growing up in Eastern Iowa, and Aaron Campman being I think he was a walk-on at Iowa from Applington Parkersburg High School and goes to Iowa, played linebacker, and then ends up being a Pro Bowl defensive end in the NFL was pretty cool. Always kind of had a soft spot for him. And then who can forget the Claymaker squirting the water in his hair and doing the full Fabio
Predator
before the game, and then the Predator to celebrate sacks. So much fun to watch.
He did the Predator. I can't remember what was first. I think the first one he was doing, which was so dumb, maybe you guys will remember, he would skip a couple times, and he would point at his wrist like he was wearing a watch, and then he'd salute off the side of his helmet. It was so dumb, but he did that a couple times. No one remembers this?
Maybe vaguely.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to find it because it's super, super important. But and such a weird end of his career, too. You know, he left us, played with the Rams for 1 year, and then after that he was toast. I think he was only 28 or 29 years old, his final season in the NFL. You know, because I think we were thinking he was going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer the way the start of his career was, and it was just a little whimper to go out at the end.
I mean, Clay Matthews officially, per the NFL, the Packers' all-time leading sacker with 83.5.
Yeah, and God, maybe he will.
Aaron Campman is down.
He's got a shot. I mean, he's not a first ballot guy, obviously, but he's got a shot.
I think it'd be awfully tough. I mean, you look at some of the outside linebackers that have gone in, your Kevin Greens, your DeMarcus Ware, those guys.
Kevin Green.
Those guys, they're recent, but they have over 100 sacks. And I mean, I don't think Clay Matthews was ever considered the best outside linebacker in the league.
Yeah, he was never a complete player because he was just always, I don't know if he's actually undersized, but like you were saying, a guy like DeMarcus Ware or those real big ends, he was just always more of a pass rush specialist. But obviously his most famous play is that stop in the run game with, God, what it wasn't, Raheem Mostert? Was that his name? No, that's the guy right now.
No. You're talking in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of his name.
Oh, Rashard Mendenhall.
Yes.
Rashard
Mendenhall. Yeah. I had the initials correct.
what about his strip of Adrian Peterson, his rookie year that he returned for the touchdown?
But that was that is so memorable because it didn't look like a football play. It turned into a streaker on the field where he just got the ball and then he's running Favre in Cincinnati and 2006 or whatever it was, because all of a sudden he's just running with the ball. We were like, there's no way this is live. And then sure enough, it was a touchdown. Yeah, I forgot about that one too.
One of the more electric defenders we've ever had, though. Maybe not a Hall of Famer, but he was so fun to watch.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a bummer at the end. It's, again, just crazy how he turns into a cap casualty, which just turns into a NFL career casualty at the end. It didn't last much longer after that.
Hey, went to what? He went to
the Rams? The Rams.
St. Louis at the time.
No, it was LA.
It was LA. Okay.
I mean, the other thing about Clay is he moved to inside linebacker for over a year because we refused to invest at inside linebacker for so long.
It saved that season, and I...
He was good.
I couldn't look it up.
He was legitimately good at inside linebacker.
I know he was upset that they had him play inside linebacker. I don't know if it was that year or the next year when they kind of wanted him to keep doing it. He was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I think that was kind of the slow end of Clay Matthews. Then he started getting like clubs every other year, it felt like, too, on his broken hand. Not as much as Nick Perry, but happened a couple times. Next thing to talk about, maybe the last thing to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw this, James Campen, the former Packers offensive line coach. I think he might be the longest tenured Packers position coach of all time. I feel like I heard that when he left. Anyways, he has a gig now. He's back in Green Bay, and he's going to help scout offensive linemen,
right?
Something like that. Yeah, so he's back in Green Bay. Pretty cool. Never heard anyone say something bad about
Florida,
the guy.
Right? Doesn't he live in Florida, but he's going to do most of it remote, essentially?
Yes, but he was in Green Bay last week for practice, but yeah, gotcha. You are right. Did hear that. He is going to be remote scouting, and like, what a nice gig that is to just hang out. I guess Rob Davis probably has an even better one where he's just like a rah-rah guy for the Packers, it seems like, and he was a damn long snapper in the NFL. Like, literally just being a good dude and Mike McCarthy's buddy is why Rob Davis has had like so many jobs in the NFL, it seems like, which is nice for him. But James Campen, I don't know if there's anything else to talk about, but I'm just happy to see someone who was such a positive reflection of the Packers organization sticking with the franchise.
And I think a really good offensive line coach too. I mean, sticking around in the league that long, I know he was in Cleveland for a time. And to your point, I mean, what a gig. I mean, shoot, hey, Brian Gutekunst, I've been watching NFL football for the last 27 years. Why don't you give me a call? I can be a remote scout for you.
He was also a former Packer, too, which I hadn't learned until like the last 5 years or so. Back in the 90s, he played for the team.
Oh, he was Favre's first center.
I will take your word for it. God, that is a long time.
I think he was the center when Favre was traded for in 92.
But again, like, and I'm just trying to think here, like, how many guys he developed. Scott Wells back in the day, who was like a seventh round pick, undrafted guy.
Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David
Mark
Bakhtiari,
Tauscher,
Chad Clifton.
Yeah, so many guys that he, I mean, that's the thing. The Green Bay Packers, you know, we've always been known for the quarterbacks we've had. We've also had fantastic offensive lines just about every single year with both Favre and Rodgers. So
James Campen started 13 games at center for Green Bay in 1992.
There you go. Wow,
so
look at you.
So he probably snapped Brett Favre his first live game action snap with Green Bay.
God, I wonder if he was the one there for the... did you say 92?
92.
Okay, I was going to say that 91 he wasn't for the Bengals game. He was traded in 92.
Favre's first year in Green Bay was 92, and then, that Bengals game in week two or whatever, week three.
Yeah, Favre's rookie year was 91, his first year with the Packers. Yep, that's what I was. Yep. I'm just numbers in my head. With that, I don't really have anything else. We're right around an hour. Ooh.
Would it be worth just like going over like some cuts and guys who made the team, former Packers, obviously, around
the
league?
Sure, yeah. Oh, if you want to go through this.
I got a list.
That's the best part of the stupid podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, right?
Is talking about the old names. And remember that guy? I mean, we did it with the fucking receiving core in 2022.
So these are like names you're going to know, most of them probably, at least if you listen to the pod too. Like, I'll pick the ones that we probably talk about.
How about this? Okay, I will start playing sad music now.
Well, I'm going to do the guys that made teams first.
Oh, okay. No sad music. Cut the sad music.
No sad music. We'll do sad music next.
Happy music. Here's the happy music.
So Devondre Campbell, he's with the Niners. He made the team.
I forgot about
that. Rasul Douglas. Everybody knows he's with the Bills, right?
I honestly thought Devondre Campbell was done after we...
Didn't it kind of feel like it was more than a year ago?
Yes.
That he was on the team? Like, when I saw his name, I was like, oh, it was just last year.
He didn't mentally want to be on the Packers last year.
Is it bad that I hear that he made the 49ers and I automatically go, oh my God, he's going to have a fantastic year.
Oren Burks was good for
them. I was going to say, Billy, he probably literally said that last year, and I know he, well, we'll hear from Todd.
So Rasul Douglas, Buffalo Bills, everybody remembers the trade. He's still there. Darnell Savage is in Jacksonville. John Runyon went to the Giants this offseason. Za'Darius Smith is still in Cleveland. We talked about Lazard being in the in New York. Mercedes Lewis at 40 moves to the Chicago Bears. Or was he there last year, too?
He was there last year, too. Yeah, he'll be 41 in season. I think he's getting up there with
wild.
He might be the oldest player not a, that's not a kicker to play in the NFL ever. He's got to be close to it.
The kicker that beat out Narvison in Tennessee, I looked it up, is 39.
Folk? Nick Folk.
Yeah.
Mason Crosby's 37. Yep.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling is with the Bills.
Yep.
Yosh Nijman with the Panthers. Lucas Patrick with the Saints.
I'm very curious to see what happens with Yosh Nijman.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for him this time last year, and he kind of shit the bed, but he could
be a
starting
right tackle contract there for $8 million, which is not breaking anyone's bank. So safe to say I'll probably be there for 2 years.
Pretty darn good contract for a former undrafted guy.
And we probably wouldn't hate if he was on the roster right now with the way the swing tackle competition went.
No, for sure. Like, I would like to have him at swing tackle over anybody we have on our roster.
He probably wants a better chance to start anyways.
Fair. Jamal Williams, I believe he was in New Orleans last year, still there. Jonathan Owens, everybody remembers him.
Mr. Simone Biles.
Exactly, Mr. Simone Biles. He is with the Chicago Bears.
Tom Grassi interviewed the devil Mark Murphy this week. Mark Murphy referred to Jonathan Owens as Mr. Simone Biles in the interview, which is pretty funny.
That is funny.
I'll throw him a bone there. Hey, that wasn't bad, Mark.
Patrick Taylor, San Francisco.
I forgot to say that. I wish I could rewind. This time last year, when I started my real A.J. Dillon hate, I said that I think we have several running backs on this roster that are better than A.J. Dillon, and Emmanuel Wilson, Patrick Taylor, and Tyler Goodson on the Colts all made 53-man rosters.
Yeah, that's right. I was right. Goodson
was right.
Back so bad.
I'm so fucking smart, guys. I'm so fucking smart.
Okay, Todd.
Okay, a pair of punters here. We got J.K.
To be fair, Dillon is on IR. Who knows what he would have done?
You're not wrong.
Rushed for 3.2 yards a carry this year. We don't know.
True. But he wouldn't have fumbled, and he'd catch most of the balls thrown his way.
Yes.
J.K. Scott is in L.A. with the Chargers.
He's been there for a while. That's Goody mentioned him today with regrets for him, not being patient.
I think he can just kick indoors. He just can't kick outdoors in the snow and cold in Lambeau.
Yeah. Or outdoors in nice weather. Yeah, they play outdoors in L.A.
Yeah.
Corey Bajorquez, Cleveland Browns.
He's been there a couple years.
Yep.
Montrevious Adams is with Pittsburgh.
I would never
have guessed that he was in the league. Sorry.
I was surprised because he stayed with the Patriots for a couple of years. The Browns game, I was going to tweet it, but I'm like, no one's going to give a shit. And maybe I did. But it was Corey Bajorquez punted it, and it was down by Tony Brown. You remember Tony Brown?
Number 40.
Oh, yeah. The quarter from Alabama.
Who would get a personal foul every other game.
Oh, just jawing after every single play.
Yeah.
Like where the refs had to be like, you need to go back. Isaac Yiadom is in San Francisco.
Remember we swapped him for Josh Jackson, and Josh Jackson is not in the league right now.
Right.
So we made a good trade, right? Yiadom's still in the league.
The long game.
Cole Van Lannen, he's with the Jaguars.
Cool. He's still there.
Former Wisconsin Badger.
As of this morning, I mean, maybe who knows? I mean, these could have changed by this evening.
Yeah, very fair.
Everyone's favorite position to talk about, especially if you're a Packers fan. Long snapper, J.J. Jansen is with the Carolina Panthers.
Because he's been there for a decade.
Tabor Pepper is with the Niners.
Because he's been there for a decade, too, and we still can't find a fucking long snapper.
Tyler Goodson is with the Colts, running back. And then Greg Van Rotten is with the Giants.
He's a crazy guy, too. He was on our practice squad in, 2012 and never played for us. And he's putzed around the league. I think he played for Carolina for a bit. He's had a decent career himself, too.
You might like this one, too. Jawan Winfrey is on the Colts IR season ending.
Oh, I don't like that. I was surprised.
I'm saying that you might enjoy the tidbit of information. Not that he's injured. He was one of those
preseason stars, right? That
yes.
Everybody Roger, wanted
Rogers
to bring
talked
in.
Up a little bit too, but yeah, that's a name that you hear it and there's a little tickle in my brain.
So as okay. you were going through that list, Todd, I was thinking like, God, whatever, is Lawrence Guy still in the league? Apparently he's on the street, but as mm-hmm. of 13 mm-hmm. hours ago, he has a workout with the Ravens scheduled, so...
Okay.
Lawrence Guy is legitimately Ted Thompson's biggest, like, roster cut down mistake. That and I think the punter. I think moving on from Tim Maste was a mistake. Or John Ryan. That's what it was. Cutting John Ryan was bad.
Yeah,
moving
John
on from
Ryan.
Lawrence Guy are pretty much the only, talking like draft picks and like actual talent, not like moving on from Charles Woodson. But that was probably his biggest mistake.
Yeah, because Guy played for the Pats for a long time, right?
Yes.
He kind of bounced around for a couple of years, finally hit with the Ravens like his third or fourth year, and then, yeah, went to New England for
He must have had two contracts years. There.
He was in New England for 7 years, so, I mean... Obviously, he developed. He kind of bounced around. Like I said, he was in San Diego and Indy and then finally caught on in Baltimore and New England, who had two of the best defenses of the 2010s and 2020s. So,
the number one Lawrence Guy podcast, the Green Bay Packers podcast. Todd, is that it for guys who made teams?
Yeah, cue the sad music here. Oh,
do we want sad? We'll do sad piano.
Sad piano? Yeah, sad piano's good.
I was going to say that the Price is Right to sad trombone.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, that's... it's. But we're going to play it
Maybe
all.
Like throw that at the end. Oh, just like okay. just one.
We'll see. It's all playing right now while we're speaking, of course.
Perfect. So I've got Adrian Amos was cut from Houston.
Yeah. Father Time caught up with him fast.
Yeah.
Kevin King cut from the Falcons.
Assume that would happen, but yeah, it's a bummer for him after not playing in the league for 2 years.
I was going to say, good for him for giving it a shot to come back.
Oh, you know, thinking about it too, it's because, yeah, well, I mean, we said it at the time, but Jerry Gray, I'm sure Jerry Gray was like, come on, let's throw Kevin a bone.
We've got Big Bob Tonyan, cap casualty roster casualty in Minnesota.
I was going to say, he did not get a good contract this time.
No.
He's the one, he's played for every team in the NFC North. Well, he's owned a jersey for every team in the NFC North.
He's been on an offseason roster at least.
When was he with the Lions?
He started with the Lions.
Yeah. Oh, he started with the Lions.
He was their practice squad, and we signed him off the practice squad, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know if he even made the practice squad. I think he was just in at training camp, and we signed him after they cut him. Very, very important. I had to butt in and say
that. Rudy I'm Ford.
Look, we aim to be correct on this podcast. Yes.
If nothing else, directionally.
Rudy Ford, Carolina Panthers. Cut.
Yeah, he was a late add to. I'm surprised because he was always such a good special teams player. That's why we originally signed him.
I was going to say, going into the offseason, I think we all said that we wouldn't mind Rudy Ford being back.
Right.
Which is funny now, especially after seeing Anthony Johnson Jr. getting cut.
Right, and we draft three safeties and Anthony Johnson Jr. doesn't make it. It's like, oh, Rudy Ford wouldn't have had a chance.
He had five interceptions for 115 tackles. In two seasons, sorry.
He had that run the first year where he started playing in 2022 where he had like two picks in three games or something. He was pretty hot when he first started, yeah.
Did I say Oren Burks cut by Philly?
No, you didn't, but yeah. It's a little surprising after all the fake hype about him playing well for the Niners before that.
We got EQ cut by the Saints.
Not shocking.
Not shocking. Tim Boyle, cut by the Texans.
Not shocking either. Remember that time we drafted Amari Rodgers before Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah, some people remember that.
You know what I think? And this is probably thought over. People have said this before. Goody drafted Amari Rodgers because I bet at that season-ending meeting between the front office and Rodgers, Rodgers was like, I want Cobb. And then Goody was like, you know what? We're going to draft the one guy as similar to Cobb as possible so that... we will not bring Cobb back. And then Mark Murphy was like, hey, get Randall Cobb so we can get fucking Aaron Rodgers back in the building.
The thing is, Amon-Ra St. Brown plays the slot like Randall Cobb. So he would have been a better pick both ways. It's not like he's a better receiver but plays on the outside.
Chris Barnes was cut by the Cardinals.
That's a little surprising because I thought he played well last year. Everything that I was hearing, because he was like starting for the Cardinals a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many?
Josiah DeGuara, we already talked about that, cut by Jacksonville. We're getting a little thin here now. We got Jonathan Garvin.
Practice squad for the Niners. I couldn't believe that. He made someone's practice squad. He was in a contract year for the Green Bay Packers, and he didn't play at all the previous year, and he skipped OTAs. I was like, this dude doesn't want to be in the fucking league. Like, he doesn't give a shit. And then he still made someone's practice squad a year later. I was very, very surprised by that. He's never good for us either.
Jonathan Garvin was cut by the Niners.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I didn't know.
He's on their practice squad now. Yep.
Summers was cut by Detroit.
Oh, God, Ty poor Summers. Hank. Oh my Hank's got to be elated right now.
Justin Hollins was released by Washington.
He was a great free agent signing mid-season in 2022. We might not have made we didn't make the playoffs that year.
and Lou Nichols was cut by Philly.
I was hoping when I was looking up Tyler Goodson and those guys who made it, I was like, if Lou Nichols made a fucking 53-2, then that's even more embarrassing for how the running back...
of the people on that list, I was a little bit surprised. I just haven't been paying attention, but like that Adrian Amos got cut. I just assumed he would have a few more years left in the league. I don't know.
None of them are too shocking. Chris Barnes for me is the biggest one. Amos was like a late signing for the Jets last year, and I think he was like cut mid-season as well.
Rudy Ford is maybe surprising. Who does Carolina have?
I was more surprised by the league not liking him because he wasn't signed. I think he was signed like 2 weeks ago, so he wasn't even there during an off-season for anyone.
I'm just seeing who they cut. No, that's all I got. I'm just seeing who the Panthers cut.
Sad music, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Trombone, sad music, stop. Okay.
Who, remind me.
I'm going to be up all night editing.
Lou Nichols. Lou Nichols was a running back that we drafted. Who was he, the guy that was like, that got cut because I'm trying to remember.
He got hurt very early on. He didn't play much at all, and then he went to Philly's practice squad all of last year.
Who am I thinking of? That the running back that was like a kickoff returner, and then he run his mouth or something and got cut. Like
Kylan
the next
Hill.
Week? That's who it was. Okay.
He tweeted about AJ Dillon how he was upset that he said like prayers up and that AJ Dillon's a good dude. So I'm like, okay, well, everyone says he's a good dude. Maybe he's a good dude. He signs a lot of. Sends a lot of kids jerseys and shit, but I guess he's got more time for that now. Todd, do you have any more names here?
That's it. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, hey, look, that was a nice little 15 minutes down recent memory lane.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else? Next week, we'll have our big season preview prediction show and our kickoff preview. I think we're going to record next Sunday, so you will see or hear it on Monday morning, Labor Day, right? Labor Day, not Memorial Day. That was in the...
Labor.
Yeah. Very cool. I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope.
I got nothing.
All right. With that, AJ Dillon, please take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money.
I do have something that I added to the outro at least this week. I don't know if I'll keep it, but it might be the new outro. It's same song, but I added something that I found. But
oh.
Is it a cease and desist order from Eric Koskinen?
You should auto-tune yourself saying, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue me, or please don't sue us. Like, put that in the outro.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.